So the psak was this week. I should talk about Chanukah. This next week we're not going to meet, we'll talk about Chanukah shtickle. So it's Yadua. There's a well-known vort. I think the Avudram says that the Rosh Tevis of Chanukah are Chetz Neiros v'Halocha kebeis Hillel. So you light 8 candles and be passing like Beis Hillel. What's the psak of Beis Hillel? There's a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. How do you light the menorah? So Beis Shammai says you start with 8 candles the first night, you work it out to 7, 6, till you get to 1 on the last day. And Beis Hillel says, no, 1, 2, 3, you go up and we passkin like Beis Hillel. So Ches Neiros, Ba'alochik Beis Hillel. But what is the pshat in Beis Shammai? What Beis Shammai says, you start with 8, you go down to 7, you go down to 6. So the pshat's like this. I'm not sure if this is what Rav Dessler says, or what he means, or it's my interpretation, or whatever. But I'll call upon him. You know, if you take a look at the way we celebrate Chanukah. So what happens, the first night of Chanukah, everyone's excited. It's Chanukah, the kids are excited, maybe they'll get presents, a Chanukah geld, and everyone is pumped, and you light the menorah, you sing Ma'os Tzur, you see 3 different versions of Yevonim, you sing Chasoich, this Nusach, that Nusach, maybe you sing a couple of other Nigunim, you dance with the kids, then you play dreidel for a little bit, then you sit down, you have latkes, and Sufganim, everything is Gevaldik, right? Second night already, only 1 stance of Yevonim, and maybe you're not as many latkes, maybe you're not going to play dreidel as long. By the third night, you're already opening up the mail in the middle of Ma'os Tzur. Your wife is starting to get nervous that the oil is dripping on the floor. And by the fourth night, you're tired of the kids draining you to play dreidel. You know, you don't have the patience for it. And the latkes are giving you heartburn already. And the aluminum foil is getting filthy on top of the table where you have the menorah. And your wife is nervous that the wax is dripping. By the 8th night, you're ready to put it away. I'm tired of rolling the greasy wicks or whatever it is. And now we have instant wicks and everything like that. But, you know, so so Beis Shammai says, listen, why on the last night you're only lighting 1 candle? Because it's a reflection of your heart. In your heart, there's only 1 candle burning, so burn light 1 candle. The first night is 8 candles, so you light 8 candles, right? And this is the way we celebrate that Yom Tovim. You know, the first night of Pesach, everyone's pumped. The kids got their notebooks. We're going to ask kashas. We're going to have a seder till 5 in the morning. By the second night, you know, no kashas now. We had to get the Shulchan Aruch. Everyone's hungry. Everyone's tired, right? So we have that, you know, slowly but surely. By the, you know, last night of Pesach, you're waiting in line for pizza already. You know, so so Beis Shammai said, let's be realistic. Be realistic, that's who we are, and maybe if we realize what's happening, maybe we'll turn it around, but let's face the reality. So Beis Hillel says, no, that's not the way Yid lives. If you're a realist, you're not going to get very far. Malin Bakoidish. A person is the shteig. You're right, the way we are is maybe not perfect, but we have to have a mila, we have to have an attitude of Malin Bakoidish. We go up, we shteig, we climb. We don't settle for less than that. So that's the attitude. So Eibazei, if that's true, so let's see how we can take the menorah and the hadlokas of menorah and the lessons we can learn and see how to grow. If it's an inyan, if Chanukah is a time of malin b'kodesh, to grow, to shteig, to become more, so what do we have to know? What can we learn? So the very first thing that Chayru comes to mind is you can only grow 1 step at a time. We only add 1 candle every night. You go from 1 to 2. You don't go from 1 to 8. So Malin B'Kodesh is step by step. You can't chop Madregas. You can't, just like a guy's not going to say, I'm learning Shas overnight. You know, it takes... If you do daf yoimi, it takes you several years till you get the job done. Like, I can't say, I'm going to be a tzaddik overnight. It doesn't happen that way. You got to take 1 mida at a time and work on it and work on it and work on it. And when finally you've gotten a shtickle, so then you go on to the next mida. You know, it's a process. But you got to take 1 thing at a time. You can't try to work on too many things. I learned this lesson once when I was brushing my teeth. So if you're really bored and you want to read the toothpaste tube, so it says in the back of the toothpaste tube, for best results, squeeze from the bottom. I don't know if it says it anymore, but they used to say, for best results, squeeze from the bottom. What's the shot? If you squeeze from the top, half the tube comes out right away, and you finish your tube in a few days. If you squeeze from the bottom, you get exactly the right amount. Right? I'm still on my same tube for my Sheva Brachos. You know, it's slowly but surely, you get exactly what you need. That's the Yisrael Dvarim. And so, a little bit at a time, that's the way to go. That's the best way. It gives you the best results, the stability. You consolidate what you accomplished, and you go weiter, one step at a time. That's the first thing you learn. There's another Nakuda that you learn from Hadlaka Saneiris, which is Hadlaka Oisei Mitzvah. The mitzvah is the Hadlaka. Kofsa, if the candle burns out, ein zokaklo. You don't have to rekindle it. So one lesson, the lesson is, you have to make the hadlaka. You have to ignite yourself. Where it goes from there is not your geshäft. The Rebbeinu will take care of the rest. You just make the first move. The Gemara tells the story of Oig Melech HaBoshan. And he was fighting against Klal Yisrael. So he picked up a mountain that was three parsors wide, equal to the Mokim of Klal Yisrael, the Machad of Klal Yisrael, and he was going to drop it down on Klal Yisrael. So the Rebbe Yishim sent a bunch of ants that bored a hole in the mountain, and when he tried to get rid of it, his teeth grew. It's an agadata that has to be understood on a deeper level, but the Chalamaisis, as they state in the Gemara, the Maral says, whatever the teeth of pshat is, if you see the rock that Oig tried to throw, you have to make a bracha. Right? So the Gemara has some reality to it. And so it says, Moshe Rabbeinu, it was 10 amas tall, and he had a sword 10 amas long, and he jumped 10 amas high, and he hit Oig on his ankle. Now, if you do the math, you figure out how high Moshe jumped to reach the ankle by the average person, which is one tefach, and he's jumping 30 amas, so he can barely reach his ankle. Oig must have been like the Twin Towers, like unbelievably tall and wide. If you hit Oig on the ankle with a sword, it's like a mosquito hitting him. Like, what's... And it killed him. It wasn't the pshat. You do whatever you can. The Rebbeinu will take care of the rest. Oig is going to die. You just have to do your part. The rest will take care. Hadlaka oisa mitzvah. You do what you have to do. You make that initial effort. The Rebbeinu will take care of the rest. There was a maisa in Bergen-Belsen when Bergen-Belsen was liberated. So there was a British soldier came into the barracks and he sees a yid sitting on the floor with a Gemara Baba Kama learning. So he says to him, what are you doing here? Like, everybody's looking for food, for medicine, for their relatives, and he's sitting there learning. He says, what are you doing? He says, I'm opening up a yeshiva here in Bergen-Belsen. He says, you're opening yeshiva? Who's the Rosh Yeshiva? He says, I am. He says, who's the fundraising? He says, I am. He says, and where are your talmidim? So he looks up to him and he says, let me tell you something. We haven't had a Gemara for several years, and we have to start learning. And when you have to do something, you don't ask where, you don't ask what, you don't ask how. You just do it. The Boishim will take care of the rest. So Gershon Lieben ended up starting a yeshiva in France, and this soldier became one of his first Talmidim. But you just do. Fregnisht, how, what, you have to do. Hadlaka oisa mitzvah. That's the Yisoid Advorim. Everything else takes care of itself. But that's the lesson of the dreidel. You give the dreidel a spin, and it dances around the table. You give it a shtickle a spin, and there it goes around, and it doesn't just stand there. It has no legs, but it's dancing on the table. You give it a shtickle. That's, you spin it from the top. The message is that Rabbi Yishim will give you the Yisra Usit al-Egel. You make the first move. And Rabbi Yishim will make sure that whatever you do, keep spinning, keep standing, it'll spin, it'll dance, you have to make the first effort. Don't worry, not everything's going to work out, everything comes out the way you want it. But you make the hadlaka. Make the hadlaka. Kofsa in zokaklo. Blows out, don't worry. Tomorrow you'll light it again. Right? Don't wallow in the fact that it didn't work out the way. Just keep on making hadlokas, and eventually the candle will take hold. It'll burn forever. So one of the problems we have, though, is we look at this and okay, Valdik, we'll be Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll do what we have to do. But then we always hold ourselves back. I don't know if I told you the story about the cemetery in Zembrov. Okay, looks like I didn't tell you the story. There's a cemetery in a city called Zembrov, right outside the city. So the kids used to play near the cemetery, but they wouldn't go in because the legend was that if you went into the cemetery at night, and the mason would have Kriyas HaTorah at night, if they called you up and you went to take the Aliyah, right? So if you saw anyone you recognized, they would take you into the grave with you, with them. So it was a dangerous place to go. You didn't want to go into the cemetery because the mason, they recognize you, they pull you right in. So this was the kids would make up these stories about the Beisoylim and the dead people. There was one kid, five of them, and he said, "This is a lot of baloney. You guys are crazy, bunch of kids, idiots, you know, ridiculous." So they said, "Okay, wise guy, tonight you're going in. You're going in tonight, right?" So, okay, no problem, I'm going in tonight. So it was a freezing cold night. Kid shows up, he's wearing a long coat, scarf, he's bundled up. And they say, "Okay, now wait a second, you're not going in so fast." They take a stick, they whittle it down at the edge, put a little flag on the top. They say, "We don't trust you. So we want to make sure you really go in. You're going to stick the flag in the Beis Olam so we'll know that you..." Okay, so official goes into the Beis Olam. And he's getting kind of nervous. It is kind of creepy. And he's trying to stick the stick into the ground, but it's too cold. It's too frozen. And he starts to hear, "Yamod, Fish Alexander, Zusha, Ben God, Shlishi." And he's starting to get nervous, and he thinks he hears voices. And then he's trying to stick the stick in the ground, get out of there, but the ground is too frozen. And he's trying all over. Finally, he gets to one place where the ground was a shtickle soft. He rams it in with all his kite, and he turns to leave, and he feels himself being pulled back into the grave. And he gives a scream, "They got me! They got me!" And that's all they hear. Kids go running home to their parents. "Fishel, he's unofficial. We don't know what happened. He was killed. The mason, they got him. He was called a Fishlishi." And the parents come running out with their lanterns, and they find Fishel in a dead faint by the cemetery, by the grave. And he stuffed the stick through his coat. And when he tried to leave, the stick was through his coat into the ground. He felt himself pulled back, and he thought the mason were taking him, and so he fainted. But I think the message is that we hold ourselves back with our own self-perceptions. We have our own perceptions. "I can't do this. I can't be bigger. I can't be greater. I can't steig. I can't grow. I can't become more than a person." So we also hold ourselves back with our feeling that "I'm limited. I'm not such a lamdin. I'm not such a frumi. I'm not so..." Whatever your stickle tire is, we hold it. "It's not for me. I can't go weiter." And that's our problem. Everyone has to know that they have a lot of koiches. There's a lot there. Well, there's a maisa that I heard once from Avi Shulman. There was a guy in one of the big office buildings in Midtown Manhattan. He was a quadriplegic, and he sold pencils in the lobby of the office building. So one time, one of the big executives from one of the offices comes, and he buys a pencil, throws a quarter into the hat, takes a pencil upstairs. During the lunch break, the coffee break, he comes back downstairs and he says, "This pencil is inferior quality. I expect excellence from all of my vendors." Puts back the pencil and takes back his quarter. Comes down a few weeks later, goes into the cafeteria over there, and he sees this quadriplegic guy sitting behind the counter on a wheelchair. He says, "Aren't you the guy who was selling pencils?" The guy says, "Yeah, you know, I have to thank you. I bought this whole concession stand." He says, "You bought the whole concession stand? And what does it do with me?" He says, "You are the first person who made me feel like I was a salesman, not a Rachmanis case. You told me that you weren't going to be satisfied with my pencils because you expected excellence. So I said to myself, oh, I'm a businessman. If I'm a businessman, I may as well go big time. So I bought the concession stand. Now I'm making money. Thanks to you, you opened my eyes that I'm more than I think." Sometimes we have to realize that we're taka more than we give ourselves credit for. And we shouldn't sell ourselves short. If the Chashmonoyim would have said, "We're too small, we're too weak, we're too outnumbered, it's not worth trying," we wouldn't be celebrating Chanukah. But because they said that we can do it, and they said, we have to do the hadlaka. The Rebbein Shem will take care of the rest. That's why we were zeichet. You have to realize that you have a lot more going for you than you think. You have a lot more koiches. You have to believe in who you are. A person has to believe in himself. There's a maisa, a yid was by a chasna. And he's sitting there in the back, minding his own business, and a guy sits down next to him and he says, my name is Nochem Green. Yeah, okay. He says, and I want you to know the ganze Welt holds of me. He looks at the guy, maybe this guy's a shtick of a shiger. He says, what do you mean the ganze Welt holds of you? He says, I'll tell you. I went to visit Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And me and Reb Chaim Kanievsky were roommates in Slonim, when we were Bochum. So I went to Reb Chaim and I told him, Reb Chaim, remember me, Nochem Green? We were roommates in Slonim. So after a while, oh yeah, yeah, you think. So I said to Reb Chaim, you know, it's a funny thing. You know, I became Nochem Green, nobody holds of me. And you, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the ganze Welt holds of you. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says to him, Nishtemis. He says, what do you mean, Nishtemis? He says, the ganze Welt holds of me. And I hold of you. So if I hold of you and the ganze Welt holds of me, the ganze Welt holds of you too. So this guy was, oh, the ganze Welt held from here. So he goes over to this guy by the chasna. You should know who I am. Nochem Green, the ganze Welt held from here. So now this guy's up on a pedestal because Reb Chaim Kanievsky told him, the ganze Welt holds from here. So now the person was now in cloud nine, right? So you have to, person has to, he has to have that realization that, you know, people believe in me. You know, you ever heard the story about this school in Texas? Also heard this from Avi Shulman. There was a school in Texas that was very poor school district. And the very poor, very weak class, they were whatever, in sixth, seventh grade on a second grade reading level. So they hire a teacher, and the principal says to the teacher, listen, Mrs. McMillan, I don't have much to offer you. We're a very poor district. We don't have any tools. We don't have the latest advanced technology to use in the classroom. I'm giving you a class, you know, they're in a second grade level. Not much you can do. Do the best you can. At the end of the year, she's got this class reading on a college level. So the principal says, Mrs. McMillan, you're a miracle worker. You got this class up to a college. How did you do it? She says, I don't know what you're talking about. These kids are geniuses. He said, geniuses? This has got to be like the dumbest class in Texas. I don't know what you did. It's a miracle. She said, no, they're geniuses. So how do you know they're geniuses? She said, in the beginning of the year, you gave me a list with every kid's IQ. Every kid's IQ was off the charts. He says, I never gave you a list of IQs. That was their locker numbers. So the teacher saw the locker numbers and believed that she had a class of geniuses, and she gave that over to, she made them believe they were geniuses because she thought they were geniuses, and they responded. So a person has to realize that if you believe in yourself, so why should I believe in myself? Because the Rebbeinu Shem believes in me. Every morning you wake up and you say, Moedan lefanech shechazat, Rabba emunosechel. Your faith in me, you gave me another day, you trust in me that I can fulfill the Ratzon HaBorei and I can do great things. The Rebbei Nishon believes in me. He holds that I can be mamish, a person that can transform the world. If the Rebbei Nishon believes in me, I should believe in myself. So Mela, if the Chashmonaim didn't believe in themselves, we wouldn't be here today. It's another lesson when you light them and know you had luck at least a mitzvah. Just do the lighting. The Rebbeinu Shem will take care of the rest. Don't harp on your failures. Everyone has failures. You got to keep going and realize that you have the ability. You have a lot more koyches than you think. And the Rebbeinu Shem believes in you. But what you need to accomplish that is you need a shtickle rotzen. Without the rotzen to do it, you know, we ask Hashem Pesach, Yodecha Maspil L'chol Chai Rotzen, give us a shtickle Rotzen, don't make us apathetic, give us Rotzen, give us a dream, give us a vision, give us a desire to become greater people. You see, in this week's Parsha, there's an interesting Zach. The Maisa in this week's Parsha by Yeshev is that Tomer wants to have a child for Yehuda. So, Yehuda says, well, you know, Shelah's still very young, go back to your father's house, and when Shelah gets older, we'll talk tachlis. So Tomer goes home and she realizes it's not happening. Shayla, he's still in the freezer, whatever. He's not coming out of the freezer so fast. So so what does she do? So the pasuk says, so she finds out Yehuda is coming to shear his sheep. She covers her up and she sees that Shayla grew up. So Tamar dresses up. She presents herself on the street like a Zoyna. And she's waiting for Yehuda. Now, that which Yehuda came to her, the Drashim say, it was a Malach, Muna Lataiba, that pushed Yehuda into it. And what's Tamar thinking? What is Tamar thinking? I'm going to dress up like a Zayin, and Yehuda, the God of Lador, is going to come to me, no problem, right? What is she thinking? Right? You know, you do some Beis Yaakov girl, meet a Shidduch, okay, the God of Lador is by himself, why don't you just go into his house and just present yourself? You got to be crazy. Tamar sits there by the crossroads as a Zoyna, and Yehuda's going to go over to her. What is she thinking? Zechariah Chaim Shmuel Levitz, if a person has a dream of doing greatness, you don't get put off by incidental details. You try anything. If there's a rotzen to do it, ein dover oimu b'fnei rotzen. I am going to do this, nothing's going to stop me. The odds are against you, I don't care. I'm going to try and do everything. Don't tell me it's not going to work. I don't want to hear that. I am going to make it happen. That has to be the attitude. And that's what Tomer is telling us. You can't allow yourself to be held back by negativity, by cynicism, and all that. You can't do that. We hold ourselves back. I got to remember when I was a bocher, I went to Shimon Schwab. It was one of these summers that I don't want to remember. But before I went back to yeshiva, and I told him, how am I going back to yeshiva after the summer that I had? How can I go back to yeshiva? So he says to me, you say every night, and I told him, you're going to Elzman, and Elzman, everyone in yeshiva is pumped up. Elul, Rosh Hashanah is coming, Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to feel like a faker, right? So he says to me every night, you say in Ma'ariv, Hoser Satan Mufoneinu Umei Acharenu. He says, you know who the Satan is in front of you? Who's the Satan in back of you? Who's this guy? The Satan in back of me. He says, the Satan in back of you is the cynic. He's the guy who says, are you going to do tshuva? That was last year, the year before. Come on, get real. Right? You're not doing tshuva. Just forget about it. You can't do it. You won't do it. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. Right? Forget about it. Right? That's the Satan behind you. So Tomer could have listened to that something and said, forget about it, it's not going to work, it's not worth trying, give it up, you tried other things, it didn't work, forget it, give it up, marry somebody else, right? Tomer doesn't care, nothing's going to stop her, right? That has to be the attitude. Paro's daughter sees Moshe's, what are you reaching out for? It's beyond your reach, I don't care. Ain't over the from here, Rotzen, the Moshe gives koyach, right? Azaibas, right? My son told me when he was in Eretz Yisrael. So across from his yeshiva, there was a Hasidish yeshiva. It was known as a very strict yeshiva. They had a dormitory, very makbid. So he sees one day, a guy comes from the pizza, the pizza delivery guy in the tustus comes and goes to the Hasidish dorm, right? And he's trying to see what's going to happen over here. No one's going to be able to come out and go to the pizza delivery truck. All of a sudden, he sees a gartel come down from the second floor. The guy wraps the pizza around the gartel and they hoist it back upstairs. There's a will, there's a way. You want the pizza, you'll get the pizza. Right? Nothing's going to stop you. So that's the Yisayid Advarim. If there's a rotzen, if you want it badly enough, this is the Yisayid Advarim. Yaakov Avinu, the famous word that they say, Yichad Leiva Yogala So Evin Bavur Al Tim Namayim, right? The Yaakov Avinu rolls the rock off. So what's the pshat? He was a superman, right? The pshat is he had such a rotzen to water the sheep of Rochel or to do the chesed to the other shepherds that he pulled all his koyches together. Unbelievably, he was able to do it. But it's the koyach of rotzen that allows us to do things that we didn't think we could do. I remember on my, I didn't learn how to drive till after I got married. and actually went out with my wife in Baltimore the first time. And I didn't know how to drive, so I came to the train station on Amtrak, and I call her up, and I say, I'm here. When can I pick you up? And she says, in 4 hours. So I was stuck. I used all my money to take a taxi to Neri Yisrael. And so I didn't drive. So I went out with this girl once from Muncie, and we went to some, and she drove. And the father tells me before we leave the house, by the way, the jack is in the back seat. I grew up in Washington Heights. I didn't know from a jack, whatever, what's Jack doing in the back seat. But I'll call upon him. We go to this mall. We sit there. We come out with the last car in the parking lot. And she's got a flat tire. Now, I'm not a big guy. I know to change a flat tire, you got to get the old tire off before you put the new tire on. That much. So, but I couldn't get it off. The bolts were so tight, I couldn't get it off. And after trying over, she says, should I call my father? I think, over my dead body, you're going to call your father. I had the tire changed in 5 minutes. Like all of a sudden, a surge of kaya. Now I wanted to change the tire. There was nothing going to get in the way. So there's a rotzen to do it. You can do anything. The Chashmonaim decided we're going to do this. Size doesn't matter. Quantity doesn't matter. Nothing matters. We're going to be able to do it. So There's a fascinating Gemara in the Sechus Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells the story of Meir. So it's Yidu over there. The Gemara tells the story of Chanina ben Tradian. He was one of the Asura Harugei Malchus. So Chanina ben Tradian had a daughter. The Gemara tells over that she was medactic in the way she walked in front of the Romans, and they noticed it, and she walked even. So she got thrown into a Kubba Shel Zaynus. So Bruria was her sister, Rav Meir's wife. So Bruria's sister, Rav Meir, is not so geschmack that my sister is there with the Kubish and Zaynus. Epshin, you can get her out. So Rav Meir goes, he takes a lot of money, and he wants to see if she compromised herself. So he asks if she can have this girl, and she comes with all sorts of excuses, so he realizes that she's taller. And so he says to the guy, Can I buy this girl out? I'll give you a ton of money, and half you can give to the shalton who's to let her out. The other half you can keep for yourself. So he says, it's not a safe thing. If they find out what I'm doing, they'll kill me. So he says, don't worry about it. Let me show you something. He says, you see, there were dogs over there that protected the Kubish of Zainas. He says, have the dog attack me. So the guy tells the dog to attack. Fluffy, go attack, right? And so the dog attacks, and Rav Meir says, Elka de Meir Aneni, and the dog just freezes, stops on the spot. He says, if you ever have a problem, you just say the words, Elka de Meir Aneni, and you're good. The Kachava, so he frees her, and later on they found out what happened, and they were to hang him. And they put him on the gallows, and they couldn't hang him. And they asked, well, what's going on? Why can't we kill you? He says, because I'm saying Elka the Meir Aneni. So Rav Meir became a big person there and all that. But that's why the whole Inyan of the stock of Rav Meir Balanes Nemtzach from this Maisa. So the Marshal over here in Avodah Zarah asked Akasha, how is Rav Meir saying Elka the Meir Aneni? Where do you find that somebody is Meyachid, the Shem Hashem, his name B'chayev? We have a whole problem with the Lekei Yitzchak in these parshas. It's got to be Pachad Yitzchak, because you don't say a Lekei Yitzchak. Oh, my Yitzchak, he was blind, so there was a tzad to say a Lekei Yitzchak, because the Boishim can trust him, but otherwise, Boishim doesn't trust even in tzaddikim. So what's happening with Meir saying Elka the Meir name? So the Marsha asked the Kasha, and he says a fascinating thing. He says that Rav Meir was not referring to himself. What was he referring to? He says, when it's Kavan al Iker al Shmoy, Ashomel Kodemeir Aneni bin Malchus Yomaknez Beneis Haneir Shal Chanaka, Moshechir Apayit Meyorlucha Meir, Hu Yanenu Lahatzel Son of Beneis Beyadein. So, Zokta Marsha, what did Rav Meir mean? Elko de Meir Aneni, the Rebbeinu Shalom that ignited the lights of Hanukkah, that gave this tremendous oiros of Hanukkah, he will save me from whatever sorrows I have. That's the pshat, Elko de Meir Aneni. That the oir of Hanukkah is there when you have a tzorah, when you daven Hakadosh Baruch Hu El Kol D'Meir Aneini, you can access the oiros of Chanukah and have a tremendous yeshua. And those oiros are always there. Most practically, the ma'aseh with the Blujer Rebbe. And Blujer Rebbe was in the concentration camps in Bergen-Belsen and other places. So he tells the story that they wanted to light candles for Chanukah. So they took some threads from their prison uniforms to make wicks. And then they were able to save some margarine that they got and melted it down, and they had oil, right? And so, and then they took somebody's shoe and whatever, they finally put together the paraphernalia and they're ready to light a menorah. And hundreds of Yidden came to snuck into the barracks to watch the menorahs being lit. So the Mechavim, the Blujer Rebbe, should make the brachas and send the licht. And so he says, Hashem Kedoshon, Zoyzim Etzivon, Ulahadik Nir Shal Chanukah. And then he says, Brachato Hashem, Kenim El Chayim, She'osin Nisim Avisein, V'yom Neim Esmanaseh. And then he turns around, and he turns back, and he says, Shechiyon V'kimon V'gyon El Esmanaseh. And he lights the menorah. And a Yid comes over to him afterwards, a Yid who was not a frum Yid, back in the shtetl. And he says to him, Shpira, that was his name, was with Blujer Rebbe's last name was Shpira. He says, Shpira, I don't understand you. You want to light the candles, it's a tradition, it's a Jewish religious tradition, I understand. You want to say, Sh'osa Nisim, I'm saying by Yom Mahem, I understand. But how in middle of Gehenna in Auschwitz, Bergen-Belsen, can you say, Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'kiyonu l'smanazah? How can you say such a thing? That's what you're living for? So he says to him, you know something? I had the same kasha, that's why I turned around. I wanted to see what the other Rabbonim would say. I turned around and I saw hundreds of Yidden watching me light the menorah. I said, if I can live to see such a sight that in the middle of Gehenna there are Yidden who want to see me light the menorah, then taka shechiyonu v'kimonu v'kiyonu l'smanaseh. So even in Azag Gehenna, somehow the oiris of Chandel called the Meir Aneini is still there. Even the Rabbi Nishim wanted to bring whatever tzaras to Klaisel, but there's still an oir. There's still an oir. Elka the Meir Aneini. So we have to know that this is something we can always access for ourselves. There's especially on Chanukah, there's a bezundere oir that's there. At the same time, we're talking about our steiging, our growing, our aliyah. There's a maisa that there was a yid, Nissen Rachamim, and he was the doctor of the Sultan of Turkey, and very close. The Sultan trusted him, and he was a very, very intelligent yid. Gave the etzes to the Sultan and create a very, very gvaldika relationship. So the Sultan invited himself over to the last night of Chanukah. Wanted to see what it's about. He comes, he sees the menorah, 8 candles. He asks for Nissen Rachman, Vos Tutzach, why 8 candles? They tell him the whole story about the Yevonim, how we fought back, and the mace of the Pach Shemen. Tells him the whole story. So he says, what about that other one, that candle's higher than the others? What's the story with that one? He says, oh, that's just the shamas that lights the other candles. He says, no, there's got to be more. You're not telling it to me because I'm a Gentile. What? There's got to be more to that candle. He says, no, it's just there to light the other candle. He says, you're not telling me the truth. I don't want to see you till you tell me the truth. And he storms out of the house. Listen, Rachman doesn't know what to do. I mean, he's in a very difficult position now. He's got the Sultan. If he gets broigus with him, the Yidden are in trouble. He doesn't know what to do. What the pshat is? What's he supposed to tell that's the pshat. This is the shamas. What's he supposed to tell him? So he's all cerudled. He takes a walk outside. He's walking around, lost in thought, trying to. And an old Yid bumps into him and says, Rav Nissen, you look troubled. What's going on? He says, so he pours out his heart. He says, the Sultan was just here, and he asked me about the shamash. I didn't know what to tell him. And he's all breakers. He thinks I'm hiding something because he's a guy. So he says, let me tell you what the shamash is all about. He says, you know, the olive is sitting on top of the tree. Very geschmack, on top of the olive tree. It's getting a nice tan. The sun is beating down. It's warm. It's comfortable. And then a guy comes and rips him off the tree. And then they take him and stuff him into a big pot. And then he gets crushed and pressed and squeezed and kvetched. And, you know, every ounce of oil is squeezed out. Mamish, the guy's tzahak and tzeshmetted and tzekvetched. And so the olive is saying, okay, at least the oil is left. And then you take him in a jar and you put a wick, and the wick sucks out every last vestige of strength he's got. and dosi does. But you know something? It's all kedai if you can give a little bit of light to somebody else. If you can illuminate somebody else and give a little bit of warmth, it's all kedai. And the message of the Shabbos is that you can go through difficulties and you can be tzeklapped and tzekvetched and tzeshmetered, but if in the process you can give a little bit of light to another yid, it's all kedai. That's the ikar. So a person has to realize that our tachlis is not just for ourselves, but we have an achrayis for the ganze welt. And that's the maisis. I want to finish with this machshava that Reb Shaul Shulfelhirsch says that the menorah is shaped like a tree. The menorah in the base of Mikdash, many menorahs we have. So you have the shaft, you have the trunk, and you have branches coming out. It's a tree. He says, what is the pshat? He says, Klal Yisrael in Tanakh is very often compared to a tree. So we're very often compared to a tree. The goyim, the metaphor is always animals. In the Neil, especially, you see many metaphors of the different animals. Klal Yisrael is also compared to animals, but also compared to trees. So he says, what's the chiluk? He says, if an animal dies and you plant his paws, you're not going to grow another tiger. Right? It's not growing. If a tree is chopped down and you plant any part of the tree will grow. It will regerminate, it will grow. He says, any single chelik of Klal Yisrael, every single yid, carries with himself the capacity to rebuild God's Klal Yisrael. Every single yid can do that. That's the yisoid. That every yid has to know that you have an achrayis. You yourself have carry within yourself God's Klal Yisrael. So, just thinking, if you look in the parsha, we lay on Hanukkah the parsha of the Nesiyim. And if you look at Rashi, in the parsha of the Nesiyim, so the parsha Korbonei Karas, Kesef Achash, Loishim HaMishkola, right? And it goes on, and Rashi brings down for Moshe HaDarshan a bunch of gematrias. He says, Karas Kesef Achas is gematria of 130. That's when Adam HaRishon first had children. And it's 900 because that was how long Adam died. And the next thing was 500, which is when Noach had children. And he goes through all these gematrias, Adam and Noach and Shem Chom and Yofes. And then he gets to Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov and then Aseres and Dibrois. And then it goes through, it's like, so what is this gematria all about? The standard made up numbers, it stims. The gematrias, if you look starting from Adam to Noach to the Umas Oilam, there's Shivim Shekel, B'Shekel Kodesh, the Ayin Umois, then you come to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and then you come to the Torah. It's a microcosm of world history. And the Siyam brought a carbon that represented the history of the world. What's the pshat? What are they trying to say with that? These are the karbonis that are Chanukas HaMizbeach. It means we're saying we are laying the foundation for all future Avodas Hashem. Any yid in the future that comes to serve Hashem and bring a korban, this is the foundation. And what's the message? The foundation of every yid who comes to serve Hashem at any time, in any place, is the history of the world. That means to say that everything that has happened in history till today has been the foundation for you serving Hashem at this moment. It all boils down to you getting up in the morning, washing Nagel Wasser. It was all Kedai. The foundation of everything in world history was for your moment of Avodas Hashem. That's what it's all about. That's what it boils down to. Right? A Yid has to know the godless of what he is and who he is. And everything that has happened, it's not just I happen to be in Baltimore and I woke up in the morning and I did a mitzvah. Who cares? No, the Ganze Bria has led to this moment. And it's the foundation of this moment that you're an Oyved Hashem. And you're not Stam an Oyved Hashem, you represent Ganze Klal Yisrael. Because Ganze Klal Yisrael can be built from you. So this is the thought to have in mind. So just to quickly chazer over, Ches Neir Zalocha Gebeis Hillel, we have to steig. You have to climb one step at a time. You can't try to chat madregas, but it's malin b'kodesh, one step at a time. But the hadlaka does the mitzvah. It's the lighting. You just do your part. Don't worry about looking back. What works, what doesn't work. You keep on lighting the menorah. The boys will take care of the rest. That's the lesson of the dreidel. You spin a little bit, and the dreidel will keep going. Don't hold yourself back by your self-perceived limitation that I'm not so frum, I'm not so holy, I'm not so learned, I'm not so this. Right? It's all within you. Believe in yourself, because the Rebbeisha believes in you. Just if you have the rutzen to do it, the Rebbeisha will be there to help you. And Chanukah especially is Zman, the special aura, Al Kodem Ranani, and at the same time you have Nachrayis to others, and Gans Klal Yisrael is on our plates. We can rebuild it, and it's all there. World history is there for us. Okay.